St. John chapter 1, and today we're going to begin our reading at verse 9. Today we're going to begin our reading at verse 9. We started in chapter 1, verse 1, and we're going to work our way through the entire book of John. I'm taking the first chapter slow on purpose because there's some very fundamental things we must learn. And then afterwards, we will take like chapters and episodes. But for now, we're going to take it small pieces because these pieces are very, very powerful. St. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth, there it is, every man that cometh into the world. This is the Bible. Verse 10. He, talking about the word, was in the world. You see that?
Yeah.
And the world, talking about the whole world, was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
And his own received him not. Tragic. But verse 12, we'll stop there. But as many, there it is, as received him, to them, he came to the world. The world didn't receive him. Came to his own. They didn't receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of Yah, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. That's what, not, you know what, take one more verse. Let's go on. 13, listen. Even to them that believe on, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, or but of Yahweh. I want to talk about the importance of believing on his name. You may be seated. I want to talk about believing and how important it is to believe on his name. Repeat that after me. Say, believe on his name. Come on, one more time like we in the fellowship. Say, believe
on his name.
Very powerful line in this account of St. John, whose true Hebrew name is Yahakanan. He tells us that the word was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, we've already discovered that in the beginning was the word, Yahuwah. The word was with Yah, and the word was Yah. We've already discovered that John in this gospel is repeating or bringing to the reader's mind the Torah, the account listed in the book of Genesis. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy make up the biblical Torah. He is drawing your attention to the Torah to let you see that our HaMashiach is not an afterthought of our Heavenly Father Yah, but that our HaMashiach was in the beginning with Yah, and all, and he was Yah, and all things were made by him. When we get to verse 9, it says that was the true light. Now, the idea of true is not necessarily just new in true in contrast to false. The idea of true light has to do more with authenticity. That when we see Yahushua as the light, he's the authentic light. While there may be other lights in this world, there is no light like the light of Yeshua, the only begotten of the Father. As a matter of fact, in the Greek, it's kind of interesting that we got a little change from the Greek word that was the true light to in the English, but from the Greek it actually says there was the true light. Now, the reason why in the Greek it says there was the true light instead of that was the true light is because the writer John wanted you to know that the true light was right there in the Messiah. You do know everybody in the world is looking for the truth. Everybody's looking for light or enlightenment or knowledge or direction. And the question is not that or was he that true light, but he's stating the fact that when he was here, everywhere he was, that's where the light was. There was the true light right there in human flesh. He's that light that lighteth every man. The Bible says that cometh into the world. Now, let me share this because this is important and then I'll get to the meat of my sermon. When a person is born into the world, they are born into the world with a particular amount of light. In other words, the very life in them is light. It's as though before every baby is born, the writer is saying, Yeshua lights inside of them a little light. This is not a floodlight. This is not a big bright light. It's just the light of life. And it's very interesting that every human has this light lit in them at birth. So that as they begin to grow, certain things or certain questions naturally come to every human born in the world. Here's one of them. Why am I here? How did I get here? There's a light, little bit of light in everybody. Is there a God? Is there something after death? All of these questions are common among the human because as the human is born into the world, a little bit of light is given to each one. Now here's something that happens. As we grow, we can do one or two things. Through life, we can extinguish the light so that you actually end up with a group of people that are called atheists. They don't even care or acknowledge the very presence of the Most High Yah that made them. That's one thing you can do is you can ignore the light and extinguish the light, but what you should do is allow the one that lit the light to increase the light throughout your life so that at the end of your life, your light is shining bright like a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid, or like a menorah or a lampstand that's in a house that giveth light to all that are in the house. Amen. He's the true light. He lights everyone. He gives light to everyone that comes into the world. As a matter of fact, we will discover that he himself is the light even of heaven. There's no need for sun or moon or stars because Yeshua himself is the light. And he lights everyone that comes into the world. Now verse 10, he says, he was in the world. Really, if I can just get this verse out, I'm doing good for the day. He was in the world. Who was in the world? Yahweh. In the form of the word of Yah, was here on planet Earth. He actually was in the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him or through him. And here is a strange line. And the world knew him not. Now, isn't that strange that the maker of the world, the creator, came into his creation, and his creation didn't recognize their creator? Now, hold it. Hold it, hold it. Is he talking about all creation, or is he talking about us? He's talking about humanity. You do know everything recognized his presence when he came here but us. I could talk about that. You do know he spoke to the wind and the waves. And they stopped blowing and the waves stopped crashing. Why? That's the creator. If you say stop, I'm stopping. That's all there is to it. He spoke to water and said, I need you to create me a pathway to my friends out in the middle of the sea. And he just started walking, and every time he placed his feet, the water would be like this. So he would not sink. Everything he made, creation knew he was here. That's not what John is saying. Whether or not the birds recognized him, whether or not the bears and the coyotes and the lions and no, that wasn't what he's talking about. He's saying the creation of humanity, he made human beings, then he came and dwelt among the humans, and they didn't even recognize that their creator was walking in their very midst. When I read this passage, I have to admit to you, this has to be one of the saddest lines in the whole Bible. Amen. Until you actually get to the next line. The first line says he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world knew him, did not know him, or knew him not. That's bad. But the next line says, watch this. He came unto his own. That tells me something. That not every human that's made is considered to be his own. Do you get that? Yeshua has his own people. Does anybody know who his people are according to the scriptures? Talk to me. Hebrews, the Hebrew Israelites were his own people. He came into the world full of people, and the world didn't know him. That's tragic, because he made everybody. But then he came unto his own called out group of people, the Hebrew Israelites, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jacob, the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, the same group of people that he delivered from Egyptian bondage, the same group of people that he gave his law and his Torah and the law and the prophets, the same group of people who were blessed to get bread from heaven. They were blessed to get water from a rock. The same people who were delivered from captivity simply through prayer. The same people who marched around the walls of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. The same people who were called by his name. He came to a particular people group. Somebody say, what difference do it make? I got a lot to tell you about that. It makes a lot of difference when your own people don't recognize who you are. Oh, it's not a bad thing. Too bad if I come to San Francisco and I go downtown and I walk and people don't know who I am. They look at me and they think I'm just another Hebrew walking the street. But it's quite another thing if I show up in San Francisco to the family reunion. And nobody in the family recognizes who I am. And I've been telling them who I am ever since they became a family. I've been writing down all of my characteristics. I've been telling them how I was going to come, when I would be born, where I would be born, how I would live, what I would say, the miracles I would do. I gave them all the whole list. Then I came to my own and fulfilled everything I said, and my own people received me not. That's tragic. Yahushua came to his own people, the descendants, our ancestors, Zion, our people. They didn't know him. It's bad enough he was in the world, and the world didn't know him. But it's super tragic when he comes to his own people. And may I say this? And this is going to kind of hurt us a little bit. If you go to most churches today, they don't know him. Oh no, they can't. They wouldn't recognize him. Because in our minds, he is Caesar Borgia. Y'all know who Caesar Borgia is? Caesar Borgia is the homosexual model that Leonardo da Vinci used to give you a portrait of the man named Jesus. I said, Caesar Borgia was a, back he was a homosexual pedophile and incest. He had sex with his sister. He was a Pope's son. And you know, popes ain't supposed to. So he was an illegitimate son of one of the popes. And Leonardo da Vinci used him to be the model for the picture of Jesus that you all see everywhere in our churches. He was a Roman. He's a Gentile. You do know that's not how our Savior looks, right? The Bible says our Savior got hair like lamb's wool.
That's right.
Our Bible say that his hands and his feet were like burnt brass. That's black. Y'all know that, right? Black history's coming up. I got to do some speaking around town. I always catch our young people with this one because they don't even know that the Savior of this manuscript, the Savior of the world, is a brother. Okay, I said it. He came into his own. They didn't recognize him. Watch this. He would preach. Yeah. He would teach. Whatever. He would say, hey, you know I'm sent from above. They said, yeah, right. What's my point? Simple point. Oftentimes, familiarity can breed contempt. I wonder today if Yahushua walked through these doors as a man, would any of us in this room recognize who he is? Because he might not come dressed like you think he should dress. He might not talk like you think he should talk. And he's sure not going to look like you think he looked. He came into his own. And the idea is he came into his possession. He came into his people who were his own people. He came to that which belonged to him. The Hebrew Israelite people were his people. In other words, the Bible says that David said, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So when he came into the world, he came to his own people. When he came to the world, I don't care what they tell you, he didn't come into the world and hang out in China. I ain't mad at the Chinese, but he didn't hang out in China. When he came into the world, he didn't hang out in Europe. He was not hanging out in Russia. He did not hang out in San Francisco or Los Angeles. When he came into the world, he went directly to his people in Africa. Well, don't let them lie and tell you that the Middle East ain't Africa. Ain't no, really, the truth is no such thing as the Middle East. Do you know the first time America ever heard the word Middle East from one of our presidents was in 1950? And the first time the Middle East was ever spoken out of the mouth of a human anywhere in the world was 1850. So what was it called before then? Come on, talk back to me. And then before Africa was named, because it was named after a Roman who conquered the land. It's not a history lesson. It's coming. I got history lessons for you. But my point is, when Yeshua came, he came to his own people group in Africa, the Hebrew Israelites. And here's the problem. They didn't know or recognize or receive him. And if you read the manuscript, John is telling us, before he even gets started telling you the lie, is that this story is going to end up almost tragic, because his own people, his family, will be the main force behind his crucifixion. You'll discover that it was Hebrew Israelites who plotted against him, planned against him, talked about him behind his back, called him everything but a child of the Most High Yah. And when they had the opportunity to choose him or a murderer named Barabbas, it was his people that hollered to a Gentile swine governor, "Give us Barabbas." And he said, "I don't get it. Why would you want Barabbas over Yahushua? What evil has he done?" And they said, if he wasn't a criminal, we wouldn't have brought him. He said, "Yeah, that didn't answer my question. Why do you want me to kill him?" He said, "Because he being a man maketh himself the Most High Yah." He came into his own, and his own received him not. Let me tell you what they did. They said, "No." He came and he said to them, he said, "I am," watch this, "water turned to wine." They said, "We don't want you." He said, "I'm living water. If you drink of me, you'll never thirst again." They said, "We don't want the water." He said in another chapter, "I'm the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "I don't want the bread." He said in another passage, "I am the way." They said, "I don't want your way." Another time he said, "I'm the truth." They said, "We don't want the truth." Another time he said, "I'm the life." And they said, "Then I'd rather die." Do you remember one time he healed a man that was born blind? And his parents were questioned, said, "How did your son become, is that your boy?" "That's my boy." He said, "Well, was he born blind?" He said, "Yeah, he was born blind." He said, "Well, how did he get his sight?" And they said, "Well, we know that's our son. We know he was born blind, but watch this. But as to how he got his sight, he's of age."
Right.
He can speak for himself. And John was quick to take a footnote and say, the reason that they said that, because they were afraid of the Pharisees who made it illegal to even speak the name of Yahushua in the temple. They were afraid of being kicked out the temple. He came unto his own people. That's my point. And they received him not. They said, "No, we don't want you." And as a result, his people have been suffering ever since. The manuscript is very, very plain about that. That it was our ancestor Zion that got us in the situation we're in to this day. I'm not talking about the blame game. I'm talking about truth. Amen. At Calvary, this is what they said. Pilate said, "I'm innocent of this man's blood." Why? Because Pilate knew that the only reason why they brought him, because they was jealous. So he said, "I'm innocent." And he asked for a bowl water. Remember, wash his hands. And it was your ancestors that said, let his blood be upon us. Now that was bad enough, right?
Right.
I kind of wish they'd have stopped right there. All right, yeah, let his blood be on y'all. Amen. That's great grandpa on them. That's your problem. You suffer the consequences, because that's what it means. Let his blood be on us. Let the avenger of his blood be on us. That's what they said. But then they tripped all the way out and said this, and on our children.
Yeah.
And when they said, and on our children, they included you and I. And ever since then, we have been persecuted. 70 AD, they ran us out the Holy Land. After 70 AD, around 200 or 300 AD, then the Muslims came and ran us down out of North Africa into the heart of Africa on the west side, down by the Niger River. After that, then we know that the European came with slave ships, just like it was predicted in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 68, that you would be taken to Egypt again in slave ships. And for 400 years, our people suffered in bondage here in the United States of America. Now we've been set free, and the Most High is trying to show us that the message is coming to his people again. Let's not make the mistake that we made the first time. Remember, he said, oh, Jerusalem, how often I would gather you under my wing like a hen does her chickens, but you won't let me. Therefore, your life, your house, the city will be desolate. Let me tell you something. It wasn't my sermon, but I want to put this out here. His own rejected him. They asked for the punishment to be on them and their kids, and we've been dealing with that for a while, but the Bible says, the same children that I have disciplined, I will also heal. The same children that I have scattered, I will also gather. The same children that I have cast out, I will also bring them in, and they will once again dwell in the promised land. Now let me share something before I close, because this next line is cold-blooded. He said he came into his own said no. But then it leaves nationalism and it falls to individualism. He says, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. I'm so glad that I don't have to die for my forefathers' sins. Because even though they said no, that doesn't mean that I have to say no. Because they rejected him does not mean I have to reject him. It does not mean you have to reject him. Because your parents decided to act a fool in life don't mean you have to act a fool. Because they did not know who Yeshua was does not mean you don't have to know who he is. Because the Bible says, as many, I'm through, as received him, as many, that's me, I'm in that many, whoever said yes to him, to them he gave power. That word power means authority. It don't mean just power like guns and weapons. No, it means authority. This is what he says. You in the family. What do you mean I'm in the family? You're in the family. How do I get in the family? You believe on my name. I really wish I could talk to the Christian church about this. As I travel this country and preach all over the world, I have to tell them this all the time. Believing on his name is how you are in the family. But the question is, what is belief? Because the devil believes and trembles. So it cannot mean just intellectual agreement. Belief has to mean something more than that. And here it is. Belief, biblical belief, comes from the Hebrew word amen. Y'all say that, amen, right?
Amen.
That's the Hebrew word that means I support and have confidence in. That's the word. So when John says you're saved or you're in the family, you're in the family when you confirm that he is who he says he is, and then you trust him for the rest of your life.
That's good.
When I came down here to San Francisco, I knew there was a great task ahead. I knew it. Because I've been teaching this all over, and I know everywhere I go, people look at me with the same looks that y'all looking at me now, like, how do you know this information? I'm going to tell you why. The Most High showed it to me to show it to you. His name is important. The Bible says those who believe on his name. Don't let people downplay his name. There's salvation in his name. There's healing in his name. There's strength in his name. There's joy in his name. There's forgiveness in his name. There's wisdom in his name. There's knowledge in his name. There is the revelation of who he is in his name. Matter of fact, his name was so important to the Most High Yah that he made a statement that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So it's important if the name has to be trusted in, we should at least know what that name is. And that's my close. His name is Yahushua. Yah. Representing Yahweh, Yah, the Most High. Ho, meaning the or our. And Hamas, Ashua, meaning salvation. When we see Yahushua, we are seeing Yahweh's salvation given to us. What do we trust in for salvation? We trust in Yah. It is Yah who saves us through Yahushua when we confirm and we support the word of the Most High. So what do I do? Go everywhere, tell them his name is Yahushua. Y'all call him Jesus. I had a person tell me, said, I don't know why he calls Jesus Yahushua. I said, no, y'all got it completely backwards. I don't call Jesus Yahushua. You guys are calling Yahushua Jesus. I said, well, that's what's written in my Bible. That's what's written in the King James Version. King James was English. The Bible's written in Hebrew. When we get to Black History Month, I'm going to show you some stuff that will help you. Because you won't believe they did it to everybody. They Europeanized this whole book. It's from England. This Bible you hold, the King James Version, is from England. Look at the preface. It was written in honor of a king named James. Okay. Shalom, shalom.